Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The state announced 109 new Alaska resident COVID-19 cases yesterday. The Department of Health and Social Services reports that the cases confirmed as of Wednesday night were in 20 communities. Among them were 48 in Anchorage, 11 in Fairbanks, 7 in Utqiagvik, 4 each in North Pole and the Northwest Arctic Borough, and 1 apiece in Delta Junction, the Nome Census Area, and Kotzebue. There were also 4 new non-resident cases, including one in the oil industry at Prudhoe Bay. The DHSS reported no new COVID-19 deaths, but confirmed that an earlier announced fatality was an Anchorage Pioneer Home resident, the third virus death of a Pioneer Home resident. There were 3 new COVID-19 hospitalizations reported yesterday, and there are currently 34 COVID-positive patients in Alaska hospitals, plus another 7 under investigation for the virus. The average daily positive test rate this past week was 2.37%, and the current statewide alert level remains high. A workforce that better reflects community diversity is a goal of hiring and employment workshops put on by the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District. KUAC's Robin reports.
The Human Resources Department at the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District is trying to be more inclusive and remove barriers to hiring. Carrie Jacoby is the Equal Employment Officer. She says the outreach to different parts of the community is to make it easier for more different types of people to apply for school district jobs.
Partnering with community agencies to hold monthly workshops to help expand the candidate pool.
Jacoby says her office has contacted groups like the Interior Alaska Center for Nonviolent Living, the NAACP, Rescue Mission, Fairbanks Native Association, and Fairbanks Resource Agency to come to monthly workshops.
To help with resume writing, the application process, interview skills, practice interview questions.
Jacoby says there will also be a job fair and workshop for students in December,
where we are hoping to identify students in our district who are interested in having a career in education and partnering them with teachers in our district.
Some of the initiatives for opening hiring came from a recent report to the school board about diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI, by consultant Rodney Gaskins.
One of the recommendations was from his report was to look at job descriptions and see if there are any barriers in those job descriptions that weed out prospective employees unnecessarily.
Jacoby says her group will review 5 to 6 job descriptions each month to see if they need to be updated. She addressed her report to the school district's diversity committee and asked for suggestions. Rose O'Hara Jolly is a member of the committee who recommended supervisors doing any hiring understand how limited the actual interview process can be.
How someone might have a bias because of the way they interviewed or approached the interview that might not actually have anything to do with how they could perform the job.
Jacoby says her office has also been trying to assist the school district's employees as they work remotely to educate students. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
The federal government is reestablishing an Arctic Energy Office in Fairbanks. According to a release from Alaska U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski's office, the Department of Energy office will be based at the University of Alaska Fairbanks to, quote, ensure greater collaboration between our state's innovators and the Department of Energy's cutting-edge researchers, unquote. The release says Congress initially established the office in 2001 through the National Defense Authorization Act. The new office will be located adjacent to UAF's Alaska Center for Energy and Power. Center Director Gwen Holdman says the office has languished in recent years and she welcomes its revitalization.
So it's existed, but there really wasn't a lot of activity over the last several years. And so we're excited about this kind of revitalization or renewed interest in the Arctic.
Holdman says staffing levels and any specific projects are still under discussion by the DOE. U.S. jet fighters have scrambled at least a dozen times so far this year to intercept Russian military aircraft that fly into airspace off Alaska's coasts. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
The U.S. Air Force has for decades played an aerial game of cat and mouse with Russian pilots who fly military aircraft near Alaska's coasts. But NORAD Commander General Glenn Van Herk says the increased number of Russian aircraft interceptions this year, following years of military buildup on their
side of the Bering Sea suggests they're trying to probe for weakness in U.S. defenses. And Senator Dan Sullivan says last month's interception of three aircraft formations, all approaching Alaska from three different directions at once, proves the general's point.
I think it's a ratcheting up that we might see more regular, and we need to be able to confront it.
Sullivan says a large Russian naval exercise that was going on in the western Bering Sea at the same time of the triple aircraft intercept demonstrates that the Arctic's become a flashpoint where two major military powers bump up against each other.
The Russians are very open and transparent about what they see as this sphere of influence for them. How they see it critical, not just to their national security, but their economic security.
Sullivan said Monday in an online forum sponsored by the Wilson Center's Polar Institute that the Pentagon's most recent national defense strategy foresaw the rivalry in the Arctic as part of what it called the rise of so-called great power competition between the United States and its so-called near-peer rivals, namely Russia, but also China, which calls itself a near-Arctic state because it wants access to the region's natural resources and its transpolar shipping routes that have become increasingly free of sea ice due to the warming climate.
There's no doubt in my mind that the great power competition that is predicted and has arrived in the Arctic.
Sullivan says the U.S. military is beefing up its presence in Alaska in response to the Russian buildup, with, among other things, two new squadrons of advanced F-35 stealth fighters at Eielson Air Force Base. He says the F-35s, along with other so-called fifth-generation F-22 fighters at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson, will enable the U.S. to project power far beyond the Arctic.
With the F-35s coming to Eielson, the F-22s at Jaeger, and we'll have over 100 fifth-generation fighters located in Alaska.
Sullivan says the buildup in Alaska's defenses also includes more Coast Guard personnel and equipment, including construction of the service's first heavy icebreaker in more than 40 years. He says he hopes that icebreaker, or one of the five others that have been proposed, will be based out of an Alaska port, perhaps the new deepwater port that's been proposed for the Bering Sea. Reporting from Delta Junction, I'm Tim Ellis.
Organizers of the Equinox Marathon in Fairbanks are discouraging runners from using portions of the race route that cross private property on Esther Dome, including the legendary Aldershot descent. This year's race is officially canceled, but many people are running the course anyway. Running Club North President Gary Pohl says a longstanding agreement with the Alaska Ski Corporation through its registered agent Mac Fields, allowing race day use of those sections of the trail, is not in effect this year.
The race is canceled this year. We're not providing insurance this year for it, and therefore we have asked that people respect the private property rights of the Alaska Ski Corporation.
The recommendation comes despite an alternate route recently brushed out on Ski Corporation land by Interior Trails Preservation Coalition President Stan Justice, who has a dispute with the corporation about whether there's a legal section line easement across its property. State Department of Natural Resources says there is, but Paul says because the status remains contested, runners should stay off Ski Corporation land.
We need to maintain our good relationship with Alaska Ski Corporation. Because if this did go to court and if there was determined there was no section line easement there, then certainly we would, if we had the good relationship with the Ski Corporation, we'll have the Equinox.
Pohl says it's unclear how many people will be unofficially running the course on what's normally race day tomorrow, but he encourages people to stay on Esther Dome Road and off private property. The Ski Corporation's Mac Fields says he plans to be on site to notify runners that the portions of trail on its land are off limits. I'm Dan Bross.